The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be as when a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one with 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I've made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our in-between reading the last few weeks has been from 1 Thessalonians, which is Paul's first letter. It's the earliest New Testament writing. So it really gives us insight into the very beginning of the church. I preached on the first chapter where he said, "Turn from idols and live a life worthy of God." Now I want to look at chapters 4 and 5. So, once again, he tells the church to live a life that's pleasing to God, that we're supposed to live in a way that God would approve of. And he gives a short list. He says, "Be holy." Now, how many times do you hear people like us say, "Well, I'm not holy"? Then you just blew it. Like, if you ever tell people, "I'm not holy," what you're basically telling them is, I've totally missed the point. It's like bragging about not being able to read when you're in school. "I don't read. I don't do math." Those are not things to brag about. Being holy is our vocation. Avoid sin. Control your impulses. Treat one another well. I mean, this is just so basic. Live a quiet life. Work hard. And mind your own business. Well, that would ruin a lot of our church life, wouldn't it? Like, I think there's people join the church just because it's a large group with lots of gossip. And I'm not kidding. I hear people talking, and I hear what they talk about. I may not be holy, but I got all the scoop on everyone and everything, right? I think this is really good advice, but along with that, he then addressed a concern. So this is the very early church. Remember, Greek people thought when you died, your soul left the world and it went to another place. And that was it. And Paul had come to them preaching about the resurrection of Jesus and saying, That world, this idea of escaping the world to go to some spiritual realm, is not the purpose of life. Jesus is going to come back, and the kingdom of God is going to be in the world. That's going to be a transformed world, but it's this world. And it's got this stuff in it. It's got bodies. So they were very concerned because as they're waiting for Jesus to come back, people had been dying. And they're saying, well, what about them? When Jesus comes back, they're gone. What about them? And so what Paul says in chapter 4, we read it last week, was when Jesus comes back, those who are alive have no advantage over those who are dead. The dead in Christ will be raised, and those who are alive, and together we're going to gather with Jesus. And this leads us to a little side issue, rapture. Have you all heard about the rapture? You've been hearing about the rapture lately because Israel? And this is just my personal thing. Anyone telling you that the end of the world's coming, here's what you ask them. Have you cashed in your retirement fund? Because if you have a retirement fund, then the likelihood that the end of the world is really something you're concerned about is zero. If you really think it's the end, I'm telling you, if they give me 2 weeks to live, I am not going to go out and make a bunch of long-range plans. In fact, I don't now make a lot of long-range plans. Not like I did when I was 30. I just don't. So, that aside, the idea of the rapture comes from 1 Thessalonians, and it was invented in the 19th century. So, not far from our own Civil War. That's pretty recent, okay? That was not an ancient church belief. And here's what he says. The Lord's going to come with the clouds. Now, I asked this question last night. No one answered. I think that you guys are ready to answer this question. If a bunch of people on horseback are riding through dusty places, what are you going to see far away? Clouds of what? Everybody said, you know this answer. I want you to leave church saying, I got the answer. Clouds of dust. Say it. Clouds of dust. Okay, so when they come in, guess who rides in on horses with large groups of people? People like Caesar. People like a conquering general. People who are representing Caesar. Really important people. And when you see those clouds of dust, as you see them approaching, what do you think you're supposed to do? You run out to greet them. You want to be on their good side. Not like the third idiot who said, I know you're a horrible person. Right? Never say that to a horrible person. Pretend like you don't know. Right? But you come out and greet these conquering people because you don't want them to think you're against them. And so Jesus coming in the clouds is representative of Jesus conquering the world, who's come and we gather to be with him. Second image of clouds. There's a book called Exodus. If you read Exodus, you'll find that every time God comes places, clouds are with him. When he goes on top of a mountain, there's clouds. When they make the temple, guess what goes into the temple? A big cloud. So the clouds represent the presence of God. Thirdly, in Daniel has a vision. And in his vision, he sees what he calls someone who looked like a human being, one like a son of man, coming on the clouds, which means coming in divine authority. All this talk about clouds refers to Jesus coming not as the humble peasant from Nazareth, but as the king and ruler of the earth. Does that make sense? So it's not that you're going to go up in clouds, which they never really explain after, what do you do then? Right? Well, what do you do then? Right? It's we're going to be gathered with him, the divine presence among us, and in the air. Air is not the same. Actually, the Greek word, you know the Greek word for air. Air. It's where we get our word air. It's the Greek word air. And air means this dimension here. So it's always used about on earth versus the sky, which is above. So here, right here, with Paul saying, right here and now, in the midst of our lives, Jesus is going to come, the dead will be raised, and we will all run to him and welcome him as our conquering hero, who's going to deliver us from all that we need to be delivered from. So, what are we supposed to be? Well, we're supposed to be focused. The Greek word Paul uses is gregorio, That's my brother's name. So every time I see it, I always go, oh, Gregorio, great seeing you. And it means to be attentive. And then the second word he uses also means to be attentive, or to be awake, or to be sober, or to be focused. And so I want to leave, that's the main point of this teaching. The main point of teaching isn't to argue with people about left behind and all that. By the way, do you know what left behind means, really, in the Bible, when they say left behind? It means you didn't get killed by the soldiers, or you didn't get taken away as a slave. The dead people and the slaves were gone. The left behind is what's called the remnant. So when people say you don't want to be left behind, don't listen to them. You don't want to be the dead people and you don't want to be the slaves. You want to be the remnant left behind who are being faithful. And that's what I'm calling you today. Get focused. What today's gospel means in simplest terms is you're going to be accountable for your life. God's going to say, what did you do with your life? Right? And I know we're saved by grace. I really do. But I don't think you're supposed to say, well, I was saved by grace, so I did whatever I felt like doing. Right? That's not going to work. That's not a great idea. And it's not that I don't believe in grace. I totally believe in grace. But grace means we respond. We respond. So we're in that season where lots of stuff is going on, and it's really easy to get distracted. Think about this week here. I never give you homework. I'm going to give you homework. I won't check up on it, though. List 100 things you're grateful to God for and tell them. You don't have to write them down. Just think of them. And for those of you who aren't real clever, each one of your fingers, that gives you 10 to start with. So that gives you some idea. Just going through your body, you can probably figure out 30 things that you're grateful for. So. But telling God you're grateful, that would be a good way of staying focused. Amen.